So tonight we're going to continue our discussion that we began last week about creating greater meaning and inspiration and connection to our Avodas Hashem. And we alluded to two avenues last week, which I want to develop a little further tonight. And that was, we spoke about the mind, the thought, the moach, the machshava, that was one realm. And then we spoke about the lev, the heart, the experience, the feeling, the inspiration on the other part in terms of our excitement. And we spoke about how those two are crucial pieces. And we shared some Torah from the Piasetzner, and that's what we're going to follow tonight, a little more Torah from the Piasetzner from two different places. The first place we'll start is with B'nei Machshava Tova that we introduced last week. And the Piasetzner here gives us two challenges. You know, last week we were speaking more theoretically about our mindset. Well, why is it that it's so difficult for us to focus mentally, to be tuned in to our Yiddishkeit in a state of consciousness? What are some of the challenges that we have? So he points out two different challenges that are, and when you think about them, they're very pertinent to our lives, and probably different times in our lives we experience them in different ways. The first one we could call mental atrophy. You know why sometimes it's hard to focus? Why it's hard to zero in? As opposed to, let's say, we think back to other times in our lives. Perhaps maybe we were in school and we were studying for an exam, and we could sit down in a library, we could sit down in an office and just zone in and be completely focused without any distractions. And yet when it comes to today with our Shemona Esrei, with our life, you know, it's like we're all over the place. So the Piasetzner talks about, the Rebbe talks about mental atrophy. He says a person, if we don't use our mind in terms of sharpening it and focusing it, so then just like our muscles atrophy, it's an amazing muscle, the way he describes it, that same thing happens with our mind. So much so, he says, that people who, let's say they have stress-related issues or areas where their mind is bothering them, so what is their cure sometimes?
Yoga.
What's that? Relax your mind. Sometimes they talk about people focusing elsewhere, not putting their energy in where their mind is. So you can just let your mind go and you'll relax, so to speak, your mind. Because, and I think there's even such an expression, although I probably could have Googled it and found the source, for your mind is like a muscle. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what the Rebbe is saying, that our mind is like a muscle. So that's one problem. That we are so busy, and he never even imagined what busyness of the 21st century would look like, but we are so busy in our activities that our mind, in terms of quiet spaces and contemplation, doesn't get a lot of exercise. How often is that we have that kind of quiet space? And the other challenge, he says, to creating this mindfulness is that when we look at the world and we experience life, we experience it in its physical reality. Of course, right? We are physical and the world is physical. So what we see is what we know, so to speak. That's what we experience. So that's what we're constantly referencing. You know, even if you think about referencing God, you know, it's important to have conversations about the Ribono Shel Olam and focusing in on it for our davening. Well, when you tell somebody, think about God, well, for a lot of people that means, you know, they're imagining a person, an old man, white beard, stick, maybe lightning bolt, chair. And that's a challenge. And the Rambam points out that that's the anthropomorphic use of description in Tanakh because of the lives that we're living in, the physical lives. But doesn't that make it much harder? You know, especially today where we're living in, you might call it a hyper-material society, where enjoyment and recreation is a big part of life in Western culture, certainly in America. It's easy to get caught up in the physical world. I was listening recently. They were describing what life is like for the last period of time in Syria. Somebody had just come back from Syria, a reporter was describing. I mean, you can't imagine. I mean, you can imagine based on what everybody else has heard, but like the description, how different that existence is to the existence that we have, it's mamash min hakatzah lakatzah. I mean, There's, you don't have to worry about any gashmis there because there's none to be had. They describe waiting online, getting up at 5 in the morning to go to the bakery. I forget, they said maybe there's one bakery in Homs, this rebel-held city. You wait for 5-6 hours online, and when you get to the front desk, there's no bread left. I mean, it's lo yu'umen ki yisupar. And so for us, it's crazy. And for us, it's exactly the opposite. We're at the corner of happy and healthy and lots of calories, right? Like, that's where we're living. We're mamish at that corner. On every other corner. Every corner you turn, that's where we are. So it's very tough. So here we are facing that kind of existence. So it's very difficult. So what do we need to do? We need to discuss, we need to focus and meditate and reframe for ourselves that mindfulness for our goal. And what is our goal in terms of our mind? So the Rebbe here on the left side on page 25, he articulates goal for us. Os Yud, what's Al-Na Yishkach, don't forget, Chaver HaChavraya, this, the member of this group, we spoke about this last week, that the B'nai Machshava Tova is this special group that the Rebbe is putting together. As Ikar Kavanaseinu B'chever, Seinu B'nai Machshava Tova, what's our goal? That what? The fourth line in the section of Os Yud. That's not our goal. When you imagine something, you have to use a physical image. So, for example, we say, Yaskir lo yom hamisa, etc. Rather, two lines later, first one on the line is Hamachshava, Ritzoneinu anuhu, to do the following, Likroa bikriya achas, to tear with one tear, es kol hamasach haparus al kol achayim. The veil that envelops all of our life, we want to tear it open. Upisom tire es atzmacha omid lefni chavodi yizbarach besoch machane gedol shamalachim visrafim. And open your eyes and immediately see the other reality that's there. I was never a big science fiction guy. I only read one of the Harry Potter books. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, in one of the Harry Potter chevra, there's a thing that if you look through a certain glass, you see other things. Is that correct? There's like, you see, what's that? You see other monsters or whatever they call them, entities that are going on, but you just have to look through a certain glass. Otherwise, you won't see them. So the Rebbe is saying, you know what it means to have a proper machshava in Avodas Hashem? It means to be able to see not the physical world. It means to see the spiritual world. Now, the Alter Rebbe in the Tanya talks about how every entity that exists is just a tziruf of godliness in the world. It's just a, you know, the word shulchan is a manifestation of godliness that takes the form of a table. And that's one of the reasons Dr. Lam, Shalom Miweli, pointed out that some were opposed to Hasidism because they equated Hasidism with pantheism. Well, it means if this is an expression of godliness, then maybe we should worship the table, which is obviously, the Rambam says in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, that is the source of Avodah Zarah. So that's not what it means. It just means it's an expression of God. You can't connect with the osios, the shorish of this, unless you see them. So our goal, what's going to be our goal as Ovdei Hashem, as real spiritual beings, is to be wearing those spiritual glasses all the time. And when we walk around, what do we see? We see neshamas. Wouldn't that change our whole reality? Wouldn't it change, even just on a practical level, the Ben Adam L'Chavero, if we saw another person as another neshama, how would that shape our existence? It would totally change everything. And so now we go back and we say, okay, now we see why it's difficult, because we have a physical frame of reference, but at least we have a goal. We have an aspiration to create spiritual glasses, to be able to see a spiritual context. And then there is the other aspect which we mentioned, which is the lathe, which is the heart. You ever notice that there is this complementary, I don't know what you call it, entity or piece of furniture, the aron, in the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, right, the most holy of holies, there is the aron. But if you look carefully at the Pesukim, the aron is actually two pieces of furniture put together. What are they?
What, in gold you're talking about, or you're talking about
The Aron is comprised of...
Aron.
That's right. Who was that? Shout out from the phone. Who was that?
Dove,
thanks. The Pesukim actually tells to treat the Kaporis separately. Right? You build an Aron and you build a Kaporis. Which is funny because when you buy Tupperware, the lid is just the cover for the Tupperware. It's not a thing in and of itself.
Right?
Right? Why do you buy a lid ever? Well, you buy a lid because you lost the last one. Yet, the Chumash treats it separately. So I once saw a drasha, a beautiful drasha from Shlomo Fisher in the Beis Yishai. He makes an awesome observation. He says, wait a second. The role of the Aron and the role of the Kaporis are different. The Aron houses the Luchos. What happens on the Kaporis? The Kruvim. And what happens? Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. That's actually where HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets us and speaks to us. Mibein HaKruvim Vayidaber Elav. That's where the encounter with God happens. That's where the experience of Hashem happens. So in a certain sense, the mind, the machshava, the knowledge base is in the box. It's in the Aron. But the experience of God, the feeling, that takes place on a Kruvim. And you need both. You need the box, you need the machshava, and you need the Kruvim. And this is articulated, the Rebbe articulates this, if you look here in this piece, this is an introduction to the Chovas HaTalmidim. Where the Rebbe discusses what he thinks the goals of this work are, which he wrote for teenage students. So the Rebbe describes. Sure.
You can refer to the Rebbe, which?
The Pia Setzner Rebbe of Klonimus Kalman Shapiro, who later became the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto, but originally he was primarily focused on youth. Which is why this book that we're going to reference now was written for high school students. He had a yeshiva called Das Moshe in a suburb of Warsaw before the war. He was born in 1888 and he died in the fall of Dalav Cheshvan 1943. So the Rebbe tells us that, look, we're going to educate our kids, top of the right-hand side on page Chaf, Avo bedvarm eil bevad lo yatsano o yidei chavaseinu. Why? Ki af im nachter el atzmus yeshus seichel hanar al yedei she naski leyu. Even if we reach the seichel of our children, shebedaito yavin ki hakolo achrayos al atzmo, child-centered education, that it's up to them, not for tonight's topic. Nonetheless, mikol makom, next line, halo amarnu, but we said, shelo bilvad sichlo, it's not just about your intellect, gam yeshus hargashosav, hispalu yosav, as af hislavu yosav, miskadmos lotziv kodem zmanu. There's also the person's aspect of their feelings and their experiences. How's that? Lehisragish lislav mi yofi hamaduma shel shtusei ha'olam kibotei ha'teretoros v'chimini holus v'efkeres ha'olam. Because out there, and we pointed this out last week from the Rebbe's diary, a person's searching for experiences. He wants to be excited. He wants, in our nature, we're looking to be thrilled and excited and moved. So it's not just enough to address the moach. We also have to address the kaporis, the experience of the person. They have to go together. And it creates a symbiotic relationship. Earlier in the B'nai Machshava Tov, he has an amazing line. He says, Machshava Tahora, a clear Machshava, clear mind, what we're going to call the spiritual glasses, Tuluya behis orus vehis lavos. That depends on a person being excited, inspired. Because that's what's going to draw you to constantly focus on having a clear mind. And then he says, Vahis lavos b'machshava Tahora. Being excited is going to be dependent on having a clear set of goals and a clear vision. So you can't have one without the other. And what does the Rebbe say? He says something amazing back in the B'nai Machshava Tov. He says, you know what one of our problems is now? Okay, we just said that we need to cultivate our focus on spirituality, on seeing things through a spiritual lens, and we need to get excited. We need to find ways to tap into the energy of spirituality. He says, the problem is that those things often don't happen simultaneously. He says, how often is it that when you're davening, you're not feeling inspired? And when you're feeling inspired, it's not davening time. You know, like you go to a kumsitz, it happens to be, it's not the middle of Rosh Hashanah. And sometimes you're in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, and it's not a kumsitz. So it's there, you're out of sync. So he has an amazing eitzah. He says, you know what you should do? Go back to our previous page in the B'nai Machshava Tova. Go back to 24. He writes, you know what you should do? When you feel inspiration, when you have an experience that moves you, grab it. You feel a salvation, a thanks. What's that?
It's dope.
I think I'll just text.
Oh, oh, that's funny. Okay. He says, "Lo yazuv eshas hakosho shol nitzos hisgalas nafsho v'yamud bezavis v'yomer is a kapitel tilim." He says, "Now I don't know if this is true. You know, if let's say you're lahavdil elafal fevdalos, you're a Packers fan, and I don't know, the quarterback happens to heave a pre-halftime Hail Mary into the end zone, and the receiver catches it. I don't know if at that moment you should say the Tehillim in the corner. Maybe, yes. I don't know. But certainly when a person feels a sense of Yeshua, something great happens to them, and they're really moved and inspired, he says, so chaperein, make it a spiritual experience through your spiritual glasses, and be real. Again, if the idea is about seeing things through spiritual glasses, that means that spirituality is real. It's not just something that we profess or we tell our kids that they have to believe or do. It has to be something that's mamish real.
It helps if the wide receiver pushes the guy in
front of him. I'm not getting involved in that.
The Pinkish has like a similar idea in Shaar Mitzvah about, he's there specifically about Tefillah, where he says, anytime you feel an emotional state, high or low, you know, you should channel it even for a short Tefillah.
Exactly.
Because he has some story there about like the Pharaoh. He's keeping whatever the story is, but he's like, you know, he was like crying about something for Yadav, because he's like, well, I'm crying anyway. He's crying, he's like, fell straight to his knee. But he figured like, if I'm crying, so you know, Shari Demos is the
exactly. Like,
so it's all you know, like that idea of channeling your emotions for a spiritual end.
Exactly, and that the Piasetzer writes exactly that that same idea. And the point is that if you're really in touch with the spiritual reality, if it's real for you, then it works. It makes sense. And what about us? So the Rebbe writes later, you don't have it in front of you, and you say, look, this is not for me. I'm not at that level. He says, not true. Not true. We know all of us and all of our failures and our frailties. Nonetheless, we all have, if we're part of this chevra, and Emir Tzashem, we're striving to be part of this chevra, we have these abilities within us. And we can go on this path. And the more that we come back to it, and with this we'll close, because I don't think this, it speaks for itself. When we come back to it every week, and remember in the beginning he said, mentioned the last thing, three times a week, but the idea that we focus time to say this is our reality, the more we keep doing that, that's going to strengthen the muscle. Right? The problem was that our muscle, our spiritual glasses muscles are atrophied. Our machshava is atrophied. But if we keep coming back to it and we work on our machshava, and then in tandem with that, we chop the hislavus to work on our machshava, and then our machshava says to us, don't forget, work on your hislavus, then together as a tandem, you can create this growth pattern in our lives.
Those and hopefully that's our goal. Understand all the Hebrew terms that you just mentioned. Can you
yes. So hislavus, we said, was excitement, enthusiasm, and then
from a flame?
Love. Yeah, lav. So that's from the lev standpoint, the heart, lav, lev, probably related to each other. The catching the inspiration when the person feels, like I said, the feeling, the high or the low, and that's symbiotic in terms of the machshava, the mind, the focus, the spiritual glasses. So those two go together, and we're going to strengthen those muscles by working on both. We're going to frame it, we're going to continue to talk about framing our lives in spiritual frames, looking at it through spiritual glasses, and we're also going to, at the same time, channel our experiences to create those frames. And when we do both, that creates, hopefully, B'nai Machshava Tova, people who are more in touch with that reality, that spiritual reality, that goal of Avodas Hashem. So that's our focus. All right.